Luke chapter 7. And Luke chapter 7 will begin in verse number 36. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. And we'll read down just about 10 verses. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went down to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Those are scary words. Okay, those are scary words. Because he just read his thoughts. No words have been exchanged. He read his thoughts and said, Simon, let's talk about what you just thought. Scary. Let's read on. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. We'll finish the story in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom tonight. I want to bring a message that will challenge us, but also encourage us. But more than anything, whether we're encouraged or challenged, we want to marvel at the character of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for coming down and living with us, Lord. You didn't show off your celestial powers. You showed off your strength of character when you came as a man. And Lord, we need your character more than we need a miracle right now. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see things from your point of view. And Father, thank you for your word to help us do just that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Simon the Pharisee could only think like a Pharisee. I want you to remember that because maybe it's not Simon the Pharisee. Maybe it's you at whatever it is you've been doing for the last 20 years. You can only think like you've been raised. You're a product of somebody that raised you, but you're also a product of what you've decided to learn. And you can't think outside of what you know. You can't see things from somebody else's point of view. That's why people get in arguments. That's why people, when they meet somebody, just go away shaking their head and saying, I've never thought about it that way before. But had you been in their shoes, maybe you would have. I say that because we need to feel sorry for Simon for just a few moments. But then we need to understand that if Simon could only think like a Pharisee, he needs to realize that he can only think like a Pharisee. And when you come in contact with the Lord, you got to understand he's going to throw off your, he's going to change your perspective quite a bit. You see, Simon had, as a Pharisee, they weren't particular fans of Jesus. But, you know, if he's going to get Jesus on his side, he's going to try the, you know, lure him with honey instead of vinegar. He's gonna have him in and let's have a big dinner and have Jesus in. And there was a few Pharisees that liked Jesus. Nicodemus was one of those. And so not all of them were real haters, but all the things Jesus said about Pharisees, if you've ever read those, Jesus wasn't a fan of Pharisees. So Simon is really putting on the dog here, okay? He's putting on a big feast. He's invited people. I believe that many other parables that Jesus spake about a feast, I believe he may have had this thing in mind here. This is a planned thing. I mean, he's got the food down. You know, it's not like you could have just ordered takeout in those days. If you were going to have somebody over, you were going to invite people and you wanted to have food for them. it was going to have to be fresh or close to fresh. There's a lot of work goes into that. You want to make sure you have places to sit. I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know, I don't think the temple had folding chairs that you could borrow if you had a, you know, overflow event at your house, you know, but we do have folding chairs if you need them downstairs. But, you know, Simon, as a Pharisee, he couldn't just borrow, you know, an extra seat from the temple. If he was going to have Jesus and 12 disciples over, he's going to make sure he has the room for that. It's not about so much too who he is going to invite, but who he's not going to invite. He doesn't want certain people showing up because he's having Jesus over. You know what I mean? You know how that is. There's people that come over to your house, then there's people that come over to your house. You know, and the way you feel when a family member comes over is different than when Pastor Lethley says, "How about I drop by tomorrow?" And you go, "Tomorrow? Like this year?" You know how it is. I know how it is. That's just how it is. Imagine Jesus coming over. Listen, I'm not just going to vacuum the front rug. I'm going to throw that one out and buy a new one. Right? I'm not just going to wipe off the table. I'm going to spread out the fanciest tablecloth I've got. I mean, he knew who he was having over, and he didn't want people over there. He wasn't about to invite, you know, the local Boy Scout troop over. They weren't invited. He didn't want that mess. He done no kids, no trouble, no surprises. Everything's going to go right. Now, with all that service, I want you guys to understand that, according to modern philosophers, acts of service are a love language. I believe Simon didn't do these things entirely out of malice, trying to manipulate Jesus, but I believe he had some love for Jesus. That's why he put all this work into this thing. It's easy for us to read down that he desired somebody to eat with him in a feast, but man, you know, it's the Pharisee and his wife, and now he's invited 13 people. Can you at least feel sorry for Simon's wife? All right? If you can't empathize with Simon, empathize with Simon's wife. All right? She says, "How many?" I mean, we're talking, this is James and John and Peter and Philip, and they're hungry, right? They've been walking around all day. We don't just want to sit down and, you know, sip on it. We want, you know, like when we go to a restaurant, it's like when I take my wife out to a restaurant, you know, when she says she wants water, they don't realize. She just wants them to drag the hose from the back and just put it, you know, can we bring you a pitcher? No, bring two pitchers and be quick to fill them up, right? I didn't know a restaurant could go in the red on water, but I took Ashley out to eat a couple times. So anyways, that's the thing is, these guys are going to be, what I'm saying is they're going to be hungry, they're going to be thirsty. And so Simon has them over. And then, if you were the host, you know, the hostess with the mostess, and you have got everything planned and you've been watching the front door to make sure, Ma, that nobody is there that isn't supposed to be there, and everybody's there that should be, and you're about to ask the blessing, everything's official, everything's good, but you haven't been watching the back door. And in the back door sneaks this street urchin. She smells like she's been on the street. She looks like she's been on the street. I don't know. I know that there was a couple of different ladies that approach Jesus this way. One of them in this story was a great sinner. She earned that title. She was known for that title because Simon, as a Pharisee, now here's the thing. If somebody from the red light district of town walks in, every man should not recognize them, right? Simon recognized her. Interesting, says the sage. Wonder why he recognized her. Different story. You adults know what I may be thinking. John tells us a different story in, I believe it's John chapter 8. But we'll move on from there. But he recognizes her. That means at least one thing. Not only did she do her job, but everybody knew who she was. And if there was one person Simon the Pharisee did not want at his dinner with Jesus on this day, was that woman. But somehow she snuck in, past past his wife, past the maids, past the servers, I mean past the disciples. And before you know it, there she is. And not only is she there, but she goes right up to Jesus and starts making an awful scene. An awful scene. Just crying and snotting all over everything. And then she brings this box of perfume and this ointment and anoints him with it. And now, you've been there. You know who it is. You know what I'm saying when somebody walks in and they didn't just spritz to freshen up. They dumped the bottle. They spilled the bottle somehow. And not only can you smell it, but you can feel it. Like you can taste it. It's so bad. And now everybody at that table is not just smelling this perfume, but it's so strong. I mean, it's so strong that everything they eat tastes like perfume now. Thank you. And Simon's heart just sinks into his boots. What has happened? And in his mind, his words, I don't think I read them with nearly enough anger, said if he had known what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't have let her touch him. She is a sinner. She's in my house, on my carpet, dumped that stuff all over my chair with my guest. And the Lord said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And Simon's having this conversation in his head, and the Lord interrupts. Boy, that's a terrible, terrible thing to have to happen, especially if you're Simon. Understand this. Simon did everything he did. He thought he was loving Jesus. But then Jesus uses this event here to show him something. He asks him, who loves most? Who loves most? There's not many things in life that can be comparative, you know, that are on a scale like that. But of all things in the Bible, love is one of those things where you can love somebody, you can love them more, or you can love them most. And it is certainly on a scale. It's not like, honesty. I am mostly honest. Okay, if you have ever said that before, that's not a thing that can work that way. You're either honest or you're not, right? Does that make sense? That's one of those things, it's on or off switch. I am more honest than, okay, that means you're not honest, okay? It's not a quality like that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the first fruit of the Spirit that says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it is something as a fruit, there can be some of it, more of it, there can be the most. And the Lord illustrates who can love him most. And he gives this parable about forgiveness, where the debt was large or the debt was small. Now, Simon didn't see this coming. Let me explain why he didn't see this coming. He was a Pharisee and he saw life as a Pharisee. He didn't see it coming because he'd been raised as a Pharisee. And can I just tell you that Pharisees had lots working against them. Pharisees were wrong about Jesus, number one. They were wrong about all the prophecies. They missed it. I mean, he showed up in their city to them and they missed it. To be a Pharisee at that time, and that's why we use it as a negative thing, before Jesus, Pharisees were the number ones in everything. They did it right. And God even used them to say they did it right. But they were wrong when it came to Jesus. So wrong that they would, after his death, even Paul says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. How did I prove it? I killed Christians. They were so wrong, it led them into probably the worst wrong they could ever get into. And didn't realize that Jesus was the Son of God that they'd been waiting for through the prophets all those years. But they missed him. Simon was a Pharisee. Simon was bound to the law. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that in Christ we have liberty. But Paul says if you're bound to the law, if you submit to the law, you've got to submit to the whole thing. They that do such things, or they that live of such things, must do them. He says in Galatians 5, 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And Simon was a Pharisee. All he'd ever known was do and be blessed, don't, and you got to make up for it later. And his whole life was a system of do's and don'ts, and he was bound to that. Can I just say that Simon was lost? He was lost. Maybe that's why he didn't see it coming, but he was lost. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, all things that were gained to me, and one of those being a Pharisee, said that I counted loss that I might win Christ. I count them but dung that I might win Christ. And kids, you all need to ask your parents what dung is later. Have them explain that to you. And the only way that he could be clean and the only way that he could be cleansed was to believe the words of Jesus. The only way this Pharisee could be something other than a Pharisee was to believe Jesus Christ. At this point, can I tell you, he didn't. At this point, I can tell you that he wasn't. And I'll prove that to you in just a little bit. But let's read the rest of this thing from verse 43 down when Jesus says to him, thou hast rightly judged. Look at verse 44. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Imagine that happened at your house. You know what the problem was? Is Simon was trying to love Jesus Simon's way. And when Jesus came in his heart of hearts, he said, like he did in John chapter 4, he said, you know, I'm looking for somebody to worship me. And it doesn't have to be anybody important. And it doesn't have to be anybody rich. But you know what I could really use after a long, hard day? I mean, nobody has adored me for who I am. And Simon said, Lord, I will make you a meal. I will make you an honored guest. But see, here's the problem. Simon, everything Simon did was to make Simon look good in front of Jesus. Jesus said, I want somebody to make me look good in spite of themselves. And so this woman, in one of the most humiliating things that a person can do, one of the most humbling things, anoints his feet, wipes her tears with her hair. She could have used a towel. It would have been dignified if she'd had a pail of water and washed his feet and wiped him with a towel. But she said, Jesus is too good for just any old pail of water. I'll give him my tears. And she, instead of saying, I could use a rag to wipe him off, no, Jesus' feet are too good for any old rag. I'll use my hair. And she said, Jesus is too good for just a little bit of my ointment. I'm going to pour it out all over the place. And she said in her heart, I would like nothing more than to be able to kiss Jesus, but I'm not even worthy to be here, but I will kiss his feet. Valentine's Day means a lot of things, but imagine she says, she's down there as Jesus is talking to Simon. How embarrassing. A woman is making out with his feet. Now here's the thing. You got to feel sorry for Simon. He didn't see it coming. He's just a Pharisee, right? We can't think outside of our preconceived ideas. But I want to just give you two words that I hope I want to. This is circumstantial evidence, but it's too close for comfort. Simon, I believe Jesus treated Simon that hard, and you might feel sorry and say, "Wow, why would Jesus treat him that way? He didn't see it coming." You come back to Matthew chapter 26 with me. Matthew chapter 26. I mean, he was doing the best he could, right? Now, this is going to come of some comparison that some folks won't agree with, and that's okay. They're entitled to be wrong. Matthew 26 is uh, is beginning in verse 6 is what we call a parenthetical story, meaning it didn't occur right here in the passage where it occurred, where we read it. Jesus brought it up, Matthew brought it up because God was trying to show them something before he gets to the crucifixion. And it didn't fit into anything else that Matthew had written. And you see that when he says in verse 6, now when Jesus was in, you see that? It's not something that's happening right now, because the way Matthew would say it, if it happened right now, there's seven different places Matthew would say this. Look at 26 verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, and then on to what he did. And Matthew does that no less than seven times. So when you see something like verse 6, now when Jesus was in this parenthetical, all right? So that means it's not happening in the time that it happened. It happened much earlier, much earlier. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6, it says this, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon, and then the next two words show off something that maybe explains why the Lord was so rough on Simon. Simon the leper. If those two Simons are the same, what I'm going to say is going to be based on if those two Simons are the same. I'm going to guess that they are. The Bible's not a big book. The Lord might want us to study, might want us to divide these things up. But this is simple. Because this Simon, if it's the same Simon of Luke chapter 7, the same thing happens in his house. That's kind of close for comfort. But here's what really gets me, is if Simon's a leper, Brother Donald, what's he doing in the house? What is he doing having a meal with anybody at his house? Leprosy, great uncurable disease of time past, a judgment of God on the uncleanness of the nations around him that got onto those people. It's still around today, maybe not as rampant as it used to be, but God's judgments are a little bit different than what they used to be. But here's some things I know. If a man was a leper, he had failed multiple tests. Write down Leviticus chapter 13. We're not going to look at it, but you ought to look at it. Because if somebody was a leper, it means that they went through a process of trying to be clean and failing. What happened in Leviticus chapter 13, according to that passage, a man would present, if he had something that wasn't quite right, he would present himself to the priest, and in some cases, as much as 28 days, a whole month would go by, where every 7 days he would come by, and they would look and they would say, oh, seven more days, and if a man was a leper, it wasn't for lack of trying. He had failed multiple tests in his life. Failed them, absolutely. Leprosy was a mark against somebody because it spread because of uncleanness. In fact, that's what a leper would have to cry, unclean, unclean, don't breathe on anybody. Don't touch anybody. Anything you touch is unclean. Anybody you breathe on is unclean. And to be a Pharisee, to be a leper, meant that you were doing something either very wrong or, you know, man, God just, you know, I don't know what's going on. Circumstances were really against you, but you failed multiple tests. Not only this, but like we said, that he was unclean. He was not just a failure, but he was a filthy failure. He was a filthy... Are you listening to me right now? If this Simon... I want you to understand something. If this Simon is the same Simon of Luke chapter 7, and the Lord says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. It wouldn't have been the first time that Jesus said something to him, because several times, Luke chapter 4 or 5 there, he comes across, the Bible says, and the leper came to him, and he says, what wilt thou? And the leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. And he was clean. Now, maybe that was Simon.
There's a good chance it was Simon. Very good chance. Because if Simon is in the house, not only was he a leper, but he had to become cleansed. And ladies and gentlemen, nobody was cleansed of leprosy that fast unless Jesus said it. Jesus Christ had intervened in this man's life and taken him from being a filthy failure and restored him back to his Phariseeism. Poor old Simon, he could only see things as a Pharisee, though. He was broken. He didn't identify as a leper anymore. He was a Pharisee. And he'd been so long a Pharisee that despite what Jesus had done for him, when he saw somebody who was unclean, he said, "Don't touch Jesus. How dare you touch Jesus?" He said, "Simon, you touched me. You were unclean." Remember how that worked, Simon?
Do you remember how that felt? The virtue didn't flow out of you into me. It flowed out of me into you. And when you're withered, nasty, decrepit, eaten up hand, touched my pure holy flesh, it came away and you went away rejoicing. Remember how excited you were, Simon? You remember that, Simon? I have somewhat to say to thee, Simon. Who loves most, Simon? You see, probably the most terrible thing about this whole thing, the most awesome and awful thing all at the same time is this. If this is the same Simon, he'd forgotten what he used to be. You know, Rafiki hits Simba over the head a couple times in The Lion King, and he says, "Remember who you are." Can I be Rafiki for a little bit? I resemble that remark. Whack you over the head a little bit. Remember who you are. Can I say to you, church, remember who you were. Remember who you were. Here's the problem. We are not so far removed from being lepers in this church, are we? Or at least we shouldn't be. I know there's people that say, "Well, don't you have to move on? Don't you have to quit saying, you know, you're just a sinner saved by grace?" Maybe. I don't know when that time is. I haven't found it yet. I've been saved 30 years, and I don't think I'm beyond saying I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not beyond saying that saved a wretch like me. Wretch. Yeah, that word, wretch. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll take it from, who was it, Newton, he said, or Watts, he said, "For such a worm as I." I don't think we're that far removed from that. I don't think that Simon was so far removed. Simon had just tried to be something he was not in the presence of Jesus. And he had done things for Jesus to make Simon look good. Where when the last time Jesus had met Simon, he had done something for Simon. And he said, "Simon," in fact, he told him this, he said, "Simon, don't tell anybody about me." And you know Simon didn't listen. If he was that leper, said he went and blazed the matter abroad. He told everybody. Couldn't keep his mouth shut. You see, because then he was thinking like a clean leper. But the more the years went on, he fell back into being a Pharisee. And while he was a Pharisee, he didn't enjoy God doing something for somebody else like what he'd done for him. Church, Wednesday night, we pray for others. Just remember, sometimes those others, they're never going to look like you look. How long have you been saved? You ought to look better. You ought to act better. Man, you know, what they talk about, hey, you better not be talking about that stuff. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. It ought to be different. But let's not get so far into being a Pharisee that we remember what a leper feels like, being a leper smells like. That fact that Simon at one point didn't kiss his wife and family goodbye because he wasn't allowed to touch them anymore. Instead, he waved goodbye as people threw dust on him and said, out, get out of the city. Don't come home. Don't ever be seen here again. Don't be seen here with your face uncovered. You're filthy. You're dirty. Get away from my kids. Get away from my family. We don't want you around. You are so contagious. What you have, we don't want. And that feeling of rejection and lostness and unbelonging until Jesus came by. And then he comes back home and he kisses his family and he hugs his children. And they look all over him. They say, "Dad, it's all gone. There's no more. There's no more of that. It's all gone. It's all clean. It's all better." He goes back into the temple as a Pharisee and offers the sacrifices and tithes of the mint and anise and cumin, just like all the Pharisees did. He says, "Man, I sure am glad I'm clean now." And then when Jesus comes by, he doesn't kiss him. Doesn't give him a basin of water. Doesn't bother to wash his feet. No ointment for his head, because suddenly it's all about Simon. "I have somewhat to say unto thee, Simon. The Lord will take the most love from somebody that remembers how much they were forgiven." You remember how much you were forgiven? Maybe tonight would be a good time to reflect. Let's stop thinking like a Pharisee. Let's take these words of Simon to heart. Let's go back a minute. The world would say, "Ah, the good old days." But if you're a Christian, you don't see the good old days. And if you do, that's the Pharisee showing up. You listen to me? If you can look back on being lost and see anything good in it, that's the Pharisee I'm talking about. You were lost. You were without hope and without God. You were an alien to the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. You had nothing to offer God, and God had only one thing for you, and that was judgment and unbridled wrath, and you deserved it. Right? And you were unclean to your family, and you were unclean to your society, and everybody you touched was not closer to God. They were closer to the devil until Jesus came by. And you met him and you touched him through faith and prayer. And something changed, and it wasn't you that changed it. Let's remember that. Let's remember that tonight. Let's remember who he is. Let's remember who he is. Stand together tonight, please, if you will.